On the phone with us now, we have Jesse. Jesse has an interesting story that you guys are gonna love.
So you're not gonna like it.
I don't know.
You're not gonna like it.
I might like it. Evidently, there's a serial killer. His name is Gary Heidnik, and Jesse, you had an opportunity to meet this guy's kid.
Yeah, it was completely by accident. I was traveling along the East Coast about 2 years ago, visiting friends and family. And my buddy Mac, who I used to play in a band with, he called me up. He goes, "Hey, man, what you doing tonight?" And I'm like, "Nothing. Let's go out. Let's go hang out." And he's like, "Okay. I got a friend with me, though. My friend Gary's here. Is that cool if he comes?" I'm like, "Yeah, dude, more the merrier." So we get together at this bar, and we're hanging out. And this guy, Gary, he's totally cool, nondescript. Script, just a chill dude, like nothing notable about him at all. No red flags, no nothing. And the night ends. We all had a good time and I go home. A few months later, I'm back on the East Coast again, hanging out with Mac. And he's just like, "Hey, do you remember my friend Gary?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "You'll know about this because you're into true crime. But have you ever heard of a guy named Gary Heidnik?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's the dude who inspired the Rape Pit in Silence of the Lambs."
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, the guy in Philly in the mid-80s. And I was just like, yeah, well, what's that got to do with anything? And he's like, "Oh, yeah, well, my friend Gary, who he drank with, that's his son, Gary Heidnik Jr." And I'm like, "Please say you said Harry Connick Jr."
Oh, my goodness.
Harry Connick Jr., you would have been bored to death because jazz sucks. Jazz singing is also the lowest form of jazz as well.
So when you were hanging out with the guy, did he seem quiet about his family past? Was he an open person, or did it seem like he was guarded and hiding something?
No, he was just a dude. Like, it never came up when I was there hanging with him. And I asked my friend Mac, I said, "Well, how did you find this out?" And he goes, "We were just hanging out together one night drinking, and it just came out. Like, man, my dad did some horrible things, bro."
He's like, "Yeah, like, all of our fathers have done horrible things."
No, you don't understand, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's how I accidentally had drinks with the son of a famous American serial killer. He kidnapped 8 women, raped all of them, and killed 2 of them.
Well, horrible. You know,
what a total scumbag. It's interesting that the guy had the ego to name his child after himself, very similar to what Henry's father did.
Well, it's to continue the legacy. But you know what? I think that you pretty much always accidentally hang out with the child of a serial killer because they rarely lead with it.
Yeah, very rarely.
They rarely come out and just say, like, "My dad loves just taking it." You know what I mean? He's just go to it and be like, "Oh, my dad told me how to eat in a restaurant, just taking food off of people's plates, sticking his fingers in there, licking all over the insides of them." Maybe not licking.
I don't know. Well, either way, he's definitely a horrible person, his father is. But now,
thank you for clarifying. Again, I'm just glad that Kitzel always makes sure to clarify that these murderers are bad.
I get confused.
I know. That's my deep concern with both of you. So, thank you so much for sharing that story. Do you feel more disgusted now as a human being knowing that you shook the hands with someone who's a direct descendant of a serial killer?
Oh, no, because I used to hang out with, like, a real murderer.
Well, that's the story to lead with. What is, how are you? That's the second story?
Oh, yeah, no. God, how do I even start this? I'll give you the Cliff Notes version because I know we're on a time schedule here. But my dad had a friend in high school named Tom. We grew up in Central Jersey, and every year I think it was like in the mid-90s, starting when I was like maybe 5 or 6, we'd go up to Tom's property up in the Poconos. He was one of those dudes that had a really nice big spot in the woods. So one thing I noticed immediately going to this dude's house was it was a nice, beautiful house, but there were guns everywhere. And even at like 5 or 6, I knew that this was kind of like not normal. So I asked my dad, I was like, "Dad, why does Uncle Tom have all these guns?" And he was like, "Well, son, your Uncle Tom is one of those people preparing for the revolution," with finger quotes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And instead of bombing a federal building, what actually happened later on was, and this happened when I was in college, he owned some rental properties. Like, that's how he was able to afford this real nice spot in the Poconos. And what he did was he gave his dad one of these apartments. And when his dad was in the hospital for something, another dude Tom knew apparently broke into the apartment and stole some some money or something. So he confronted the guy about this, like drove him out somewhere and was like, did you do this? Did you rip my father off? And the guy said, yeah. So he drove him out to the woods and made this guy dig his own grave and then shot him to death.
That's how business is done.
That'll happen. Yes,
that'll happen.
That's how it is in Queens, right?
Exactly.
All right.
It's called, technically, it's the mafia spring cleaning.
Yeah.
How efficient is, because then you don't even get tired from digging a grave.
Honestly, I've never understood why anyone would dig their own grave. Mm. Just, you're going to die. Why would the last act be manual labor? But that's just me.
Well, only if you're
lazy.
I don't know. Maybe he was just going to be like, wow, you're really good at this. How about I give you a job instead?
Yeah,
like, I
don't know. Grave digger.
How many do you need? Well, thank you so much, Jesse. I appreciate the call. We appreciate the call.
Oh, hey, thank you so much. Hail Satan, guys.
Hail Satan, dear.
Hail yourself, bud.